Well, church, we know that our theme for this year is building on the vision. Building on the vision. What does this theme mean for us as a local church? Our theme is our blueprint for moving forward in dark, unstable, and troubling times. We have defined that word build to mean to frame, construct, or erect on a foundation. To build means to frame, construct, or erect on a foundation. It means to establish, increase, or strengthen. That word vision simply means divine communication that gives sight. It is divine communication that gives sight. In other words, vision is the revealed will of God. So when we build on our vision, we establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming to God's will for us as a church. If we're going to build on the vision, we will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming to God's will for us as a church. What is God's will for us as a church? What is our vision? Our vision is to be a church patterned after the church at Philippi. We are to be a people who loves God, a people who hates sin, and a people who loves to give. Our theme scripture is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We know in this scripture that the Apostle Paul was writing an exhortation to the church at Philippi while imprisoned in Rome. And as Paul exhorts the church, he reflects on his own life. He admits that he has not accomplished all the things that he has desired, but he is striving to lay hold of the spiritual prize because Jesus had first laid hold of him. In verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Church, this scripture gives us our attitude and our approach to this year's theme. We have to understand that we have not yet arrived, that there are things that God desires to do in us and with us in our life. And so in these dark and troubling times, we must build on the vision. We must conform our lives to God's will. We must obey his instructions. We must endeavor with all that is in us to love God, to hate sin, and to love to give. That means that we're going to have to forget those things that are behind us. We have to turn away from our former life. We need to turn away from the ways that we used to live and the things that we used to do. We need to turn away from our past failures, our past disappointments, our past fear and anxiety. We need to leave it all behind. We must forget those things that are behind us, and we must reach for what is before us. What is before us? The will of God is before us. Grace is before us. Opportunity is before us. So we must stretch ourselves toward the will of God. We must focus on God's instructions. Listen intently and make every effort to learn what it means to love God. Learn what it means to hate sin. And learn what it means to love to give. And church, we must press. We must press toward the mark. We must have an urgency to obey. We must make it our priority to establish a relationship with the things we learn. What do I mean by that? I simply mean that we must do what we are taught, and we must do it immediately. And when we do, we can manifest the vision to a lost and dying world. Church, when we build on the vision, God will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives. And he will strengthen, refresh, and revive our church. But before we begin this process of building on the vision, we must take some time to understand just how significant the vision is. Church, we are in part 3 of our series, Our Vision. Our Vision. Let's go through the intent, purpose, objectives, and goal of this series. The intent of this series, I want to teach us the significance of our vision. I want to teach us the significance of our vision. The purpose of this series is that we understand why we must build on the vision. We want to understand why it is so important for us to build on our vision. We have 7 objectives in this series. I want to teach us 7 things about our vision. I want to teach us our vision's origin and our vision's purpose. I want to teach us our vision's power and our vision's benefit. In our 5th objective, we will learn our vision's relevance. Our vision's relevance. Then we will learn our vision's adequacy. Our vision's adequacy. And in our 7th and final objective, we will learn our vision's effect. So I want to teach us our vision's origin, its purpose, its power, its benefit, its relevance, its adequacy, and its effect. The goal of this series is that we commit to the work. I want us at the very end of this series to be fully committed to building on the vision. So what have we learned so far? In our 1st objective, we learned our vision's origin. We said that our vision is significant because of its origin. Our vision comes from God. It is not a cute slogan. It is not our church motto or saying. Our vision is divine communication, God's communicated will to us as a people. It is extracted from the Word of God, and it succinctly expresses our doctrine. It summarizes our doctrine in a way we can easily understand and recall to mind. In my day-to-day life, I can recall the fact that I am to love God, that I am to hate sin, that I am to love to give. Our vision summarizes our doctrine, but it does not replace it. Our vision guides us to our doctrine. In our 1st objective, we learn, church, that we must respect our vision. We must acknowledge it for what it is. It is God's divine communication, His communicated will to us. We must prize it, value and esteem it as worthy of understanding and worthy of conforming our life to. We must respect our vision. Then we must regard our vision. We must pay attention to it. Strive to learn what it means to love God, hate sin, and love to give. Finally, we must respond to our vision. We can't just respect and regard it, we have to respond. That is, we must answer back with obedience. And obedience is the only acceptable response, because obedience is how we build. If we are going to establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives, we must obey. Last week, we moved into our 2nd objective, our vision's purpose. Church, we said that our vision is significant because of its purpose. The purpose of our vision is that we might have sight. Not natural sight, but spiritual sight. The purpose of our vision is that we might have sight. God communicates His will to us so that we can navigate in dark and uncertain times. He communicates His will to us so that we might know what He requires and how we must live. He communicates his will to us so that we might grasp his promises and perceive his presence in our lives so that we can be encouraged to continue. God communicates his will for us so that we might recognize error and stay away from it. Church, when we have spiritual sight, we can have success in our life. So that means that we can't keep turning away when God speaks to us. Church, we said last week, if only we understood. If only we understood that God communicates his will to us because he loves us. If we understood that, we would respect his word. See, we have to understand that God desires good things for us. God desires something better for us. He's not trying to take away our life. He's trying to improve our life. We have to understand that God speaks to us because he loves us. Church, if only we understood, and if only we listened. If only we heard God, paid close attention to him. If we gave ear to what God said to us, to his word, to his will, to his instructions for our life, then God would give us directions and answers. He would give us the directions that we're looking for and the answers that we need. See, church, direction and answers are in God's word. But we must listen. That means I must follow Jesus Christ. I cannot live however I want to live and occasionally throw up a prayer and ask God to give me direction. We said that God is not our horoscope and he is not the psychic hotline. I must be a follower of Jesus Christ. That is, I must attend closely to his teachings. Church, if only we understood, if only we listened, and if only we obeyed. If only we obeyed, if only we accepted, embraced, and lived by what God instructs us to do. If we would just love God, hate sin, and love to give, church, we would experience the blessings of righteous living. And it would be well with us and with our children. That brings us to our objective for today. The third objective, our vision's power. Our vision's power. The subtitle for today's message is Unrestrained Living. Unrestrained Living. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Church, our vision is significant because of its power. Our vision has power. Our vision has the power to restrain us. Our vision, I know you weren't expecting that. That wasn't the power you were thinking. Our vision has the power to restrain us. That word restrain means to keep under control. To keep under control. It means to confine, to limit, to restrict, or prevent. Restrain means to keep under control. To confine, to limit, restrict, or prevent. Church, our vision restricts us. It establishes what we can and cannot do. Our vision, when we follow it, keeps our lives from spiraling out of control. Keeps our lives from spiraling out of control spiritually, naturally, financially. It keeps us under control. Our vision sets boundaries around our lives, and it confines us to a righteous course of life. When we conform to our vision, our life is confined to a righteous course of living. It restricts us. It sets boundaries. Well, Pastor, I don't want boundaries. But you need them. You need boundaries. I need boundaries. All of us need boundaries. Church, through the vision, God sets boundaries, limits, and restrictions for our life, but he does so for a purpose, so that we might have and live a blessed life. That's why he does it. That's why God sets boundaries around us. That's why he restricts us and limits us, so that we might have a blessed life. But if we refuse his instructions, if we turn away from them, what happens to us? We become unrestrained. And our lack of restraint leads to destruction. Church, when we refuse God's instructions, when we turn away from his will, we become unrestrained, and our lack of restraint leads to destruction. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to read one verse, verse 18. We know that Proverbs was written by King Solomon, who was known to be the wisest man in the world, apart from Jesus Christ. And Solomon wrote down many different proverbs that can guide us in our life. And in Proverbs 29:18, he says simply this. He says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Now, most of us, if not all of us, have heard that scripture before. And most of us have misapplied it. We use that scripture to say, well, if I don't have vision, then my life is not going to be what it ought to be. That's not what the scripture is saying. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We already know that that word vision means divine communication. It is God's communicated will. But let me tell you what that word perish means. Perish in this scripture means to break loose. It means to break loose. It means to become unbridled. Unbridled. It means to cast off restraints. So what is this scripture saying to us? The scripture is saying that when divine communication is absent, the people break loose and become unrestrained. When divine communication is absent, when God's not speaking, the people break loose and become unrestrained. In other words, when people are not instructed in God's truth, they set aside restraint. They become unbridled and they are made ashamed. When people are not instructed in God's truth, they set aside restraints, become unbridled, and are made ashamed. And for us, church, unfortunately, that describes many of us. Divine communication, God's instruction, is absent. It's missing. Not because God is not speaking. It is missing in our life because we refuse to be instructed in God's truth. We simply refuse. Why? Because we don't want God to tell us what to do. We don't. We want God to bless us. We want God to shine on us. We want God to prosper us. But we don't want God to tell us what to do. Why is that? It is because the adversary has indoctrinated us with the world's way of thinking. And it is easy because we are in love with the world. He has indoctrinated us with the things that started all the way back when he said to Eve, "Did God say? Did God say you should not eat of that tree? That's not true. God's just trying to take away your freedom." So the adversary has indoctrinated us so that we believe what the world believes, that life should be without limit, without boundary, and without restraint. We believe that in the church, that life should be without limits, boundaries, or restraint, that we should be free to do whatever we want to do. And you hear it when we talk to Christians, when we talk to each other, you hear it. "Well, I just don't want to bother anyone, and I just live and let live, and everybody should be able to do whatever they want to do." See, we have been indoctrinated into the world's way of thinking because we think that more freedom, less limitation, less restriction is what we need. We think that's what is going to fix us and make us happy, make us whole on the inside. We believe that we should be without restraint. So that's why we don't like to hear doctrine. We like to hear Christian entertainment. We like to be preached to in a way that tickles our flesh, but we don't want to hear doctrine because we don't want to be told what to do. See, we act the part on the outside, but like the world on the inside, we are stubborn, we are rebellious, we are hard-headed, and we are self-willed. We will not be instructed by God's truth. Oh, yes, we have our daily devotionals. Yes, we have our prayer for the day. And usually it is a prayer, "God bless me today. Make me to prosper today." We have those things. We listen to our inspirational music because, after all, I have to get my praise on. So I have my inspirational playlist. We have all those things. We post spiritual words of wisdom on our Facebook page because we want people to admire us. We want people to look at us as if we are spiritual. And yet divine communication is absent in our life. Why? Because we have shut out the voice of God. We have shut him out. We have learned how to tune God out. And we get up each and every day and do exactly what we want to do without regard to the will of God. That is unrestrained living. That is unbridled living. See, many of us as Christians think, "Well, I'm not unrestrained. I'm not unbridled. I live a Christian life, but I do what I want to do." Without regard to God's will, without regard to God's instructions. And it's because the adversary has indoctrinated us, but the adversary has lied to us. It is a lie. It is not good to live an unbridled, unrestrained life. It is not good. And if you don't believe it, just take a moment and do a self-assessment of the times in your life where you have been unrestrained and unbridled. And ask yourself the question, how have your unbridled emotions rewarded you? When you left your emotions to have their will and their way. See, some of us have let our emotions rule for so long that now we are not able to rein them in. Can't rein our emotions in. Because it's always been about how I think and how I feel. What have our unbridled emotions done for us? What have our unbridled thinking done for us? What has our unbridled mind rewarded us with? See, many of us have allowed all kinds of ungodly thoughts to just come in and out of our mind. We don't restrain any type of thinking. And now we are confused. We are anxious and we lack peace. How has your unbridled mouth rewarded you? Some of us just say whatever we want to say. Well, I just needed to say it. It just needed to be said. Well, I'm just an honest person and I just tell it like it is. We are just unbridled with our mouth. And now when we look back, we realize that we have said some things that have gotten us into trouble. And there are things that we've said that we now regret, but we can't take back. How has your unbridled flesh rewarded you? What has your flesh given you in return for you giving it everything it wants? Many of us satisfy all the lust of our flesh only to find out that our flesh is never satisfied. Now our flesh is literally killing us. It is destroying our body and carrying us off into addiction. See, that's unbridled living. The adversary has lied to us. Our unrestrained living has not made our life better. It has not. See, if we think about it, and if we do an honest assessment of our life, our unrestrained living has led to relationships that we cannot mend. Talking about our unrestrained living. Many of us, we're walking around, we're mad, we're angry. Won't nobody give me a chance. Everybody think I'm always doing something wrong. They won't give me a second chance. And we forget about the 5, the 10, the 15, the 20 plus years where I had received a second chance and didn't do what I said I was going to do, that I let everybody down. I manipulated, I lied, I stole, I did all of these things. I forget about all the things that I have done in the past to destroy the relationships in my life. And I'm walking around mad because nobody will give me a chance. But it's my unrestrained living. So I have relationships that I can't mend. It is because of my unrestrained living that I have records that I cannot shake. You know, records, financial records. Can't buy a car, can't buy a house because of my financial record. Can't get a job because of my criminal record. Can't even borrow a book from the library because of my library record. I've taken books out of the library and didn't return them. My record just follows me everywhere. Can't shake it. But I'm angry at the world because I can't seem to get a fair break. But all of it came because of my unrestrained living. Our unrestrained living has led us to have children that we cannot properly care for. Because we've brought children into this world in unrighteousness, outside of marriage and before we were established. And now we are struggling to care for children that we have brought into the world. Our unrestrained living has led to bills that we cannot pay. They're piled up because of all the things that I had to have, that I would not be denied of. See, our unrestrained living has led to habits that we cannot shake. All because I do what I want to do and nobody can stop me. I do what I like to do and nobody has anything to say about it. Church, being unrestrained, oh, it's great. Until we have to deal with the things we created or the things that we destroyed while we were running wild. And once we have to face the things that we have created or the things that we have destroyed while we are running wild, we realize that unrestrained living is not good. Living an unbridled life, it leads to disorder. It leads to chaos, it leads to shame, and it leads to failure. But the good news is that that's not the life that God intends for us to have. It's not the life he wants for us, not the life he desires for us. He desires that we would have abundant life, that our life would be productive, that it would be ordered and organized, that our life would be peaceful, that our life would be content, filled with joy, and that we would have victory in this life. But to have that kind of life, we must be instructed by the vision. We must learn how to love God. We must learn how to hate sin. We must learn how to love to give. And then we must allow those instructions to box us in. To just box us in. To confine our life. So I'm not going to do anything outside of these instructions. We must allow our vision to confine us to a righteous course of living. Why? So that we will live a blessed life. Church, I'm trying to get this over to us, that God desires that we would have a blessed life. The adversary has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he does it by carrying us away into rebellion against God. That's not God's will for our life. We have to allow the vision to confine us to a righteous course of living. Church, our vision will free us from unrestrained living, but we must be ready to do three things. That brings us to our points for this morning. We must be ready to, point number one, hear the truth. Our vision will free us from unrestrained living, but we must be ready to hear the truth. If we're going to allow the vision to restrain our lives so that we might be blessed, we must be ready to hear the truth. The truth is not what I want to hear. The truth is not what I think it should be. The truth is the truth. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? The truth is the truth. Well, we have defined truth in the past this way. We said that truth is reality lying at the basis of an appearance. Truth is reality lying at the basis of an appearance. But let me simplify that definition a little more. When we talk about truth, truth is this. Truth is what's really going on when you get to the bottom of things. That's truth. It's what's really going on when you get to the bottom of things. See, we all have theories for our broken, messed up life. And all of us have areas of our life where we're broken and we are messed up, where we are just out of order. That our life in this area is chaotic, all of us. And for each and every one of us, we have theories. We have reasons as to why our life is disordered, is messy, is broken. And those theories sound good. They sound so good, they've convinced us. We have convinced ourselves with our theories. But when we learn our vision, God's going to tell us what's really going on. Now, I have to be ready to receive that. I have to be prepared to accept that. That God is going to show me what's really going on. Because, see, some of us have held on to our theories of why we are messed up for so long that when God speaks to our heart, it's going to be shocking. It's going to be shocking. But he's going to tell us the truth. He's going to say, no, this is what's really going on. See, he will show us how we are the problem to the life that we're living. So we can't get offended when he speaks. Can't get offended by that. See, I can't get offended if God tells me that my problems are a lack of love. I can't get offended by that. Because when we learn how to love God, God is certainly going to say that. to most, if not all of us, that the problems in your life are a lack of love. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, to love God, we must obey Him. And God has given all of us some hard instructions, difficult to do. But He's given us those instructions so that our lives might be made better. And many of us, because those instructions are difficult, we just won't do them. And God will say, it's because you lack love. Because when we love God and we are motivated by love, our love for God will push us, compel us to obey God, even in difficult circumstances when the instructions are hard. See, I can't be offended by that. When God says, no, the problem is not this person over here. Problem's not this person over here. The problem is you don't love me enough to obey me. Can't be offended by that. I can't be offended if God shows me that my love of sin is the main cause of my disorder and failure. Can't be offended by that. Because, see, we live in a society of blame everybody else. It's everybody else's fault. My disorder, my failure. But when God starts to show us how our love for sin is the main cause, have to be willing to accept that. Can't keep blaming everybody else. Can't be offended when God reveals that my depression and my hopelessness comes from my pride and my self-centeredness and my refusal to give of myself. I can't be offended by that. When we learn what it means to love to give, because we feel sorry for ourselves, when we're feeling hopeless, when we're feeling depressed, and it's going to be hard to hear God say, you need to get out of yourself. Get out of yourself and think about somebody else for a change. Do something with your life that will benefit somebody else. And if you do, I will strengthen you in your areas of weakness. Some of us don't want to hear that. So I can't be offended when God begins to speak. See, God is going to tell us some hard things. That's why we have to understand that the vision, it is not a motto. It is not a saying. But when God begins to teach us what it means to love Him, what it means to hate sin, what it means to love to give, there are going to be some hard instructions in that teaching. And I have to be willing to hear the truth. Our vision will free us from unrestrained living. But we must be ready to hear the truth. Then we must be ready to point number two, set aside excuses. We must be ready to hear the truth, and then we must be ready to set aside excuses. Church, if we're going to allow the vision to restrain our lives so that we might be blessed, we must set aside excuses. Excuses are simply my reasons for why the truth does not apply to me. That's what an excuse is. It's my reason for why the truth does not apply to me. And we are so skilled at coming up with excuses. Our excuses are like shields. They go straight up. Soon as the word comes, before it hits our head, the shield comes up. The excuse is there. Why? That doesn't apply to me. It is the way that we use to free ourselves from accountability to the word. And it's just in us to do. Church, it is just in us to make excuses. It's in all of us. It is just in us to make excuses. That doesn't apply to me. That's not my situation. Well, Pastor doesn't understand. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. Excuses. Then we pull other people into our excuses. It's my spouse's fault. It's the child's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my family's fault. It's everybody else's fault. Then we pull God into our excuses. We say, well, you know, God knows my heart. As if my heart and my actions are two different things. As if I have a good heart, even though my actions are bad. But that cannot be, because my actions come out of my heart. They start in my heart, go to my mind, form in my will, and come out in my actions. So when I say, well, God understands, he knows my heart, that's an excuse. That's saying that my heart is different than what I'm doing. Well, God understands that I can't do that right now. No, he doesn't. It's an excuse. Church, we have to set these excuses aside. Excuses are a waste of time. Do we realize that? Excuses are one of the biggest waste of time in our life, because excuses leave us in an unchanged condition. That is a waste of time. They leave us in an unchanged condition when Jesus has done everything necessary for our condition to change. He's done everything. He died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and washed away. He rose from the dead so that we can have confidence in the power that is in him. He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand of God. He makes intercession for us. So where we are weak, he is praying for us, interceding for us. He has given us his grace, and he says, you have free access to all the grace that you need to help you in your weakness. No, you can't do this in your own strength. No, you can't overcome this way of living in your own strength. But my grace is sufficient. I will give you every bit of grace that you need to obey. And then he gave us the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit could walk with us and talk with us and direct us and guide us and strengthen us along the way so that we would not be alone when things got difficult. And then he gave us his word. He said, now you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He will show you what the word means so that you can take the word, apply it to your life so that your life can be blessed. Jesus has done everything necessary for our condition to change. So when we use excuses day after day after day, we are wasting time and we are leaving ourselves in an unchanged condition. And that's not how we have to live. That's not what God intends for our life. We have no excuses for our excuses. We must set them aside. Church, our vision will free us from unrestrained living, but we must be ready to hear the truth. We must be ready to set aside excuses, and we must be ready to point number three, endure instruction. We must be ready to hear the truth, set aside excuses, and endure instruction. If we're going to allow the vision to restrain our lives, we must endure God's instructions. What do you mean? Well, that word endure means to bear with. It means to persist or continue in. It means to abide. It means to bear with, persist or continue in. It means to abide. Church, sometimes God's instructions can be tough. His instructions can be tough, but we have to bear with them. His instructions can be unsettling, uncomfortable, but we have to persist in them. Sometimes we don't fully understand why God is directing us in the way that he is directing us, but we have to continue. We have to abide by what he says. When God corrects and directs us, We must bear with God's instructions no matter what. No matter what. Because his instructions will not help us if we don't abide in them. If we obey God for a day or a week, when we have been living an unrestrained life for years and years, that's not going to turn our life around. We have to abide in instructions, continue, so that God can systematically rebuild our life. We have to do it no matter what, because his instructions hold the key to my life, and we have to believe that. That's why Proverbs 4:13 says, take fast hold of instruction. Take fast hold of it. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Grab hold to God's instructions. Hold fast to them. Don't let them go. People may make fun of you. Don't let them go. People may say, well, why are you doing all that all of a sudden? Don't let them go. You may not see progress right away. Don't let them go. Hold fast to those instructions. Don't let them go. They are your life. Church, we must understand that God's instructions are always right. Whatever he tells us to do, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how unsettling it is, it's always right for our life, and it always sets the proper boundaries for our life, and that's what I need. See, I need boundaries around my heart so that I don't have desires that lead me astray. I need boundaries around my mind so that I don't lose my mind, so that I'm not filled with anxiety and stress. I need boundaries around my flesh so that I don't engage in self-destructive behavior. I need boundaries around my environment so that I do not invite temptation into my life. All of those instructions come from God. He will give us instructions, and those instructions, church, are for our life. Church, we must build on the vision. Our vision is not a slogan. It's not a motto. Our vision is divine communication that gives sight. It comes from God. It is extracted from the Word of God. It reveals the will of God and guides us to our doctrine. And our vision causes us to have spiritual sight so that we might have success. Church, our vision has the power to restrain us. It has the power to restrain us so that we might live a blessed life through the vision. God will set boundaries around our life. He'll set restrictions and limits for our life so that we might be blessed. But if we refuse his instructions, we will be unrestrained. But our lack of restraint will lead to destruction. Church, allow the vision to restrain you. Be ready to hear the truth. Be ready to set aside excuses and be ready to endure instructions. Church, we must build on the vision. If we learn to love God, to hate sin, and to love to give, God will, not might, He will establish our lives. He will elevate our lives. He will strengthen our lives. God will strengthen, revive, and refresh his church. Amen.